Thank you, worship team, for that. Really appreciate your leadership this morning. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we're at. I'm going to be reading starting in verse 14. But where's Mahari? Mahari's in town right now. Where are you? There you are. Hey, buddy. How you doing? Mahari is here, out here for a difficult event, the funeral of his, father. But we are so excited to get to see you. And it is really fun to have you back here in the West Coast time zone. So I know you hate this attention right now, so I'm going to get off of it, but it's good to see you, buddy. Very good. Kalia, thank you. Good to see you as well. Great having you guys out here. Been living in Augusta, right? Augusta, Georgia. I know I told you I'd get off of this, but that would be my dream. That would be my dream. There's a golf course there. It's kind of famous. Man, that just sounds awesome. Did you get to golf at all? No, not so much. Okay. 1 Corinthians. Let's move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 14. Let's stand in honor of God's word. And as we stand, let's receive these words from the Lord, from His mouth to your heart. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God has arranged all the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think maybe less honorably, we bestow the greatest honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. This is God's word for you today. From His mouth to your heart, you may be seated. So here we have part of a body. It's not a whole body. It's just part of a body. If I took, let's say, this part of the body, what can this part of the body do? What do you think? He can play hopscotch. Very good. This part of the body, right? He can hop. That's what this part of the body could do. If you had to hop everywhere, that would be problematic for you, would it not? You would have a very hard time. You would get tired quickly. Running is a great challenge when you've only got one leg. What's the illustration? That this is incomplete. And so it needs more. It needs more to the body. This is going to be tricky for me because I didn't do this with shorts last time. But let's just say we get this here and I have no idea what I'm doing right now. And we're gonna, come here, get in there. All right. Let's just say that's on. Okay. Let's pretend right now. So what can this body do? Run. It can run, can't it? I mean, kinda. But it can run. It could make greater progress than just hopping on one foot. What else could we add to this. Who's got my torso? Where'd my torso go? Who took the torso? Oh, there it is. All right. Can somebody bring the torso up? David, can you do that? It's okay. You can keep the hat there if you want. It is a little disturbing. How many of you came in and thought, that is so creepy? Yeah, that's how I felt too. David Johns delivering the torso to me. Thank you, sir. There we go. I appreciate it. Thank you. Here we go. So now we're going to add, I think, to the body. I hope. Where are you? There we go. I think we start them sideways. I should have practiced this part more, huh? Is he teetering? It's his leg. Oh, he's teetering. He's teetering a lot. All right, let's get him in here. Let's get his shirt all nice. Ooh, there we go. Stay here, leg. Oh, come back here. Come on. All right. We got part of a body, don't we? What can you do now? What can he do now? He can breathe, right? What else? Has a heartbeat. Yes, has a heartbeat. He can breathe. Wow, he really looks like he's kind of messed up. I might, oh, look at that. Okay, hold on. We're going to get this right. We're going to get this right. I hope we're not recording this, are we? All right. Do we get, no, I still don't have him. I might need help. My staff tells me I need help all the time.
It's this leg.
There it is. I got him. Okay. I got him.
Never mind, but this one's not correct.
The leg. Who cares? Oh, no.
Okay.
Okay, we got him on. Now we got it. Here we go. Hold on. Oh, look out. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay. We got this. Strangely enough, this is not the weirdest thing we've ever done. You got it?
Uh-huh.
Oh. His shorts. Okay. But we got him. He's modest. Oh, remember? We cover the part. Okay. All right. I don't think it gets any easier. Okay, so we got a breathing, heartbeat, running, abled individual. Let's get an arm. We got arms. Somebody bring me an arm. Let's bring both those arms up because this could take a minute. We got another arm back there. Thank you very much. That's wonderful. Appreciate that arm. Big round of applause for Lauren. Yeah, I know. We were running around with these arms earlier. This is the kind of stuff you just put in your car and, you know, leave it with people. People freak out. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We're just going to put this arm up here for right now. Okay, what do we get? Is this? Yeah, that's right. No, no, oh no, that's going to be a very backwards arm. Okay, here we go. I really should have practiced this with the shirt more. Whoa, hey, come back here, buddy. Come here. All right, we got an arm. Okay, kind of. Okay, we got an arm. What can he do now? You can write. That's good. What else? He can wave. That's true. I mean, there we go. Waves. Right? He can hug. Right? A really, like, appropriate one-armed hug. So that's nice. Okay. So now here we go. Oh, boy. Hold on. What's he going to be able to do now? Play first base. Good. Come here. Get in there. Oh. All right. His shirt's a little messed up, but whatever. Okay. There we go. Does he look all right? Still good. Okay. Nice. Fantastic. All right. Okay. So what can our guy do now? Yes, he can clap. Very good. He's not very good at it, but yes, he can clap. If he's right-handed, he could now throw. He can give you a nice two-armed hug and comfort you. He can do a lot of things, but he's missing what? Yeah, his head. Okay, who's got my head? Where is it? Oh, bring it over. Bring it over. All right. Come on. Bring me the head. This thing is so creepy. All right. And now we complete our mannequin. Ooh. He's got a nice hairdo, in my opinion. All right. There we go. Is he good? Good? Okay. You should see the eyebrows on this guy. It is beautiful. Beautiful. Now what? Now what can he do? Scares you. Yes, thank you. He can think. He can speak. He can operate, right? All those things. Good. It's such a simple illustration in the scriptures, right? That we are all parts of the body and that Christ is the head. The head gives direction to everything else in the body. It's a silly illustration in a lot of ways. It's the kind of illustration that you would expect from maybe a second grade teacher to illustrate something. But Paul does this so that we would have a concept of being part of the body and how much we need each other. If you're one of those people that is missing a part of your body, a hand, a leg, it limits you. It, at one time we would call that it would cripple you. It reduces your functionality. Having all the parts of the body allow you to function in the way that God has designed. To have your arms, your legs, to have everything working together. Each part fits together. Why? Because God has chosen you to be part of His body, of which He is the head. This is who we are. And I just want to encourage you one more time, to take seriously what God has gifted generously to you as part of His functioning body, which He is intimately steering and is connected to. He has equipped you to serve in His church for His purposes and His glory. Nobody gets to dictate that to you except for the head. Nobody gets to gift you except for the head. But as He gifts you, maybe in the moment, maybe in a way that you've never been gifted before and you just trust Him, in the moment that you need some sort of empowerment by His Spirit that it speaks about here, and you trust Him with that, and miraculous things happen. And in the same way, I think there are trends and there's flow in our life of ways that God gifts us that match up with our talents and our natural abilities, but that when they're used for the kingdom of God, are filled with Holy Spirit power. And they actually bring change, not just change today, but change forever. Change that goes on into eternity. It's so simple, it's probably a little bit stupid. And so stupid that it would be easy just to kind of go, oh, I get it. We're part of the body. Are you serving the Lord in the context of His church in the ways that God has gifted you? I include it down at the bottom of the page again, the gifts evaluation, the opportunity to go online and take kind of a gifts test and see maybe what your gifting is in case that's something that you are not familiar with or you don't know about. And it's just one indicator. It's not like you take that evaluation and it's like you come out of it, look at me, I've got shepherding. That's not how it works, right? It's just giving you some ideas of things to explore, things to understand. Not an understanding that comes because you're just part of the body. An understanding that comes because that means Jesus is at work inside of your life. And He's got you here at Long Beach Alliance Church with a purpose and a reason. Man. It's simple. It's stupid. And it's beautiful. Each part fitting together. Let me emphasize, though, that the way that you are gifted is not what makes who you are. What your hands and your feet and your body can do, those gifts, those abilities, that you can reach out and you have the power to accomplish something. All of that has been given, the Bible says, as a gift to you and a gift to the church. God has gifted you to give away whatever it is that you're gifted for, to give it away in the context of the church so that the church can function properly. And the church is here to equip you and to make provision for you to be able to use your gifts in the context of this church family. But there's something the Bible says that goes on in the heart of a person. There's something that goes on that is deeper inside than what you can do with the body. There's something that is within an individual, all of us, that gives your body life. There is a soul. I can't put a soul in this guy, can I? I gotta tell you. I was working late last night, and this was set up in my office without any clothes on. And it was behind my desk, and I was working, I was concentrating, and I got up to go get a soda out of the fridge, and I caught a look at this guy out of the side of my eye, and I had forgotten that he was there, and I swear, I nearly jumped over my desk. This is so creepy when you're just all alone with it. And then this morning I walked in my office and it was staring right at me when I walked in. And it's just quite startling. I mentioned that just because as much as I would love to illustrate for you the spirit of the individual that stands to my left, I can't. He's an inanimate object, just illustrating a point. Paul comes to the end of this passage and he says, I'm going to show you a better way. He said, I'm going to show you something that runs deeper than just what you do. I'm going to show you something deeper than just the gifts that God has distributed out to His church so that the church can function properly. I'm going to show you something that is greater still. And so he begins to refer to the magnificent chapter that Brian Nastasi, one of our elders, is going to be bringing to us next week. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm delighted to get to hear from Brian. I hope you are likewise delighted to get to hear about this probably most famous chapter in the entire Bible. The love chapter. As he digs down into that, I realize that he's been leading toward these deeper issues in our lives throughout the whole book of 1 Corinthians. He's talking about stuff that goes on the surface of us, and then he's saying the reason that these things are going on is because your heart is not right. Your heart needs transformation. Your heart needs to be changed. What happens on the outside is guided by what God is doing on the inside. Which is why it's so crucial and so important for us to be pouring God's Word, the truth, the light into our hearts. So that what comes out of us actually represents truly Christ in the midst of our world and this culture. Paul says it well in Galatians chapter 5. If you want to flip over there in your Bibles to verse 22, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, not becoming conceited and provoking one another or envying one another. On the one hand, we have the gifts, which have to do with what you do. And then on the other hand, we have the fruit of the Spirit, which speaks to the soul. I've said many times, the word fruit in English, it can be either singular or plural. But in the original language that the Bible was written in, that is a singular noun. The fruit of the Spirit. I think that's a noun. It's singular. There's one fruit that all Christians have, and it manifests itself in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and so on. This is true of the soul of the individual. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. And who you are is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is universal. All Christians have the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are very individual. And they can be very specialized depending on whatever situation you find yourself in, depending on whatever way you need to be gifted. That's why none of the gift lists in the Bible are the same. They're all different because they're all in different contexts. And so Paul is applying them to the different contexts that he's speaking to. They're never the same because giftedness manifests, it reveals itself by the Holy Spirit in a multitude of different ways. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is very, very consistent. Why? Because it's universal amongst God's people. It's the most important part of what's going on in your body. If you are guided by the head, the thing that He promises to change is your heart. The thing He promises to transform is your soul. The thing that He promises to save is not what you are. It's who you are. The measure of whether or not the body, this church, you individually, us as a collective, and us as part of what God is doing here in Long Beach, is not measured by what we do, but it is measured by who we are. Not measured by the character that you bring to the table, but measured by the character of Christ in you and in me. I think Jesus Christ said it well himself. Back in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Can you imagine coming to you looking nice, looking intelligent, looking smart? But they are here to do what? What would a ravenous wolf do to you if you bumped into... I know we don't have a lot of wolves in Long Beach. So play this out. If you were confronted by a ravenous wolf, you're probably in the woods, way north of here, and you would be in big, big trouble. Because a ravenous wolf would tear you to shreds. Ravenous wolves also travel in packs. If you bump into one ravenous wolf, you're going to bump into several. It's amazing how false teaching, teaching that is not from the Bible, leaks into our lives and leaks into the body and devastates. One false teaching leads to another, to another, to another, and pretty soon you question if you're even a Christian at all. Jesus said, you will recognize them by what? Their fruit. Not what they do, but who they are. You will recognize the ravenous wolf by the fruit of their life. Look at the fruit. Look at the production. Look at what they are generating. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? I know we don't do a lot of grape collection here either. The answer is no, it's rhetorical. Figs from thistles? No. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but a diseased tree bears bad fruit. Do you think that disease is on the outside that would cause that bad fruit to be produced? No, it comes from in here. Jesus is speaking to your heart. And he's asking the question, are you healthy or are you diseased? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and it is thrown into the fire. Don't overthink it. Just know that the stuff that doesn't belong to the kingdom of God is cut away and it is burned. It's got no value. It's got no use. What matters? What matters? If I told you that you could lose your arm, but that God would save your soul, would you lose your arm? Yeah, happily, right? Give it away. If this is what kept me out of the kingdom of God, then I would just get rid of it. Don't need it. Because God is at work in the soul. Every tree that does not bear fruit, it's cut down, it's thrown into the fire. He removes it. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. By the fruit that is produced in the midst of their life. What is the great challenge for you and I this morning? What is the point of walking through this illustration of the body in listening to what Christ has to say about our character and the fruit that is produced from our character? It is very, very plain. It is very, very straightforward. Are you trusting in the character of Christ in your life? Or are you trusting in the character that you can produce? The fruit that you can generate? I'm going to do good things. I'm going to do good things for good reasons. I'm going to do it for Jesus. I'm going to show Jesus how much I love him by doing good things and doing gooder things and gooder stuff. And Jesus is going to be pleased with me because that's the good stuff that he did. And I would say to you, that's nothing but moralism. That is not Christianity. Christianity says that we are being transformed from the inside to the outside, and that it is our character that Jesus is transforming, and I'm learning every day of my life how to trust the words that God has poured out in the Bible. I'm learning to trust them and walk in them in my life, going into the places where Jesus just takes me, whether it's Starbucks or on a golf course or with my friends that are here at the church or whether it's with you or whatever. Whatever avenue God takes me into, am I trusting in the character of Christ? Or am I just trying to do good stuff? I want to challenge you that this illustration runs deep not into so much what we do, but he wants to run deep into who we are and ask the question, are you trusting in the character of Christ? Because everything else, even when it looks good, is the character of the Antichrist. It's a character that leads you away from Jesus. I have a baseball card Twitter. So I go onto Twitter. Well, I guess it's called X now. Because it's exponentially better than Twitter. That's how Elon Musk sells it. I think it is easy. It is easy in our world, based on what I see, to say a lot of good things, but to have depths of anger and sin in your heart that come pouring out in the comments that we make, in the things that we read, in the things that entertain us, in the things that we consume. And I don't want any of you to miss. There is a war going on between the head of the church and his body and the spirit of the Antichrist that wants to do everything it can to bend you and steer you away from Jesus. And it happens so slowly, and it happens so subtly, and it happens so easily that we often miss it. What are you trusting in to bring life to the body of Christ? Because every one of us individually have a responsibility to abide in Christ and allow Christ to abide in us, not trusting in our own way, in our own doing, in our own giftedness, but instead believing and trusting in the fruit and the character that God has given to us and allowing the gifts to fall where they may. I say, along with the Apostle Paul, the gifts are awesome. They're flashy. Some of them are dazzling. But I will show you a better way. Brian Nastasi, where's that beautiful bald head? I love it. Come here, buddy. He's going to lead us in our communion time today and lead us into this time of abiding in Christ and Christ in us. Thank you, Brian.
Excuse me, sir. All right. Good morning, everyone. It's my honor to lead communion with you today. Communion is an opportunity for us as fellowship in the body. And as our passage spoke about, we are one body. We are the body of Christ. And so this is an opportunity to have fellowship as a body. To take communion with one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So here we are told that the bread symbolizes Jesus' body that is broken for us. We are told that the grape juice that we're going to drink is symbolic of Jesus' blood that was poured out for you. And we are also told that when we take communion, we should remember Jesus in this, in his sacrifice for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 also instructs us to take communion in a worthy manner. We are to search ourselves and make sure that we are taking communion in a worthy manner, that our heart is right. It says, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So therefore, take a moment and search your heart, get yourself right, before going back to the tables, in communion. We practice open communion here, which means that if you are a believer, you are welcome to take communion with us. It is a practice that is set, that is for all believers. However, it is for believers specifically. So communion is a practice that is more set aside for believers. So if you are, not a follower of Christ, then, you can, abstain from that. But we call you to, search your heart and see if God is leading you to, be a follower of Him today. When instructed, you will go, there's, four stations here. There's one, or one on each side of me up here in the front, and then one on each side of the back. You'll go back to the tables and you can grab the communion elements. As we have talked about, we are one body. So, you're gonna go back with your families or with your friends. Feel free to, grab people that are next to you and bring them into your family for taking communion together. We can take communion, together in groups. You don't have to do this, you know, by yourself. This is something that you can grab others and bring others along with you. So, join together, in communion and taking communion together, and acknowledge that together. And then if there's anyone that, that cannot make it back to the table or would like help with communion, I am happy to serve communion. I'll bring that to you. Just slip your hand up and I will, bring that to you today. Let's pray. Father, thanks for this opportunity, to remember you, to remember your sacrifice, to search ourselves and to make sure that our hearts are right with you, that we are being transformed into the image of Christ. And God, I pray that as we take this opportunity to remember your sacrifice, that you would transform our hearts and our minds, to be more like you. In your name we pray. Amen.